Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
You need parts? O'Reilly Auto Parts has parts. Need them fast? We've got fast. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Product availability. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm sure a lot of you guys remember the old ceremonial hunting tradition of eating the heart out of the first animal you kill. Meat from those organs are among the most nutrient-rich foods on the planet. You can get those same benefits your ancestors craved via convenient daily capsules from Heart and Soil. Find out more at heartandsoil.co. And remember, use code MEATEATER for 10% off your purchase. If you're 21 or older, consume nicotine or tobacco, and want to join the Black Buffalo herd, head over to blackbuffalo.com to learn more. You can order nicotine pouches online. They ship directly to most states, or check out their store locator to purchase pouches at thousands of retail locations around the country. Black Buffalo Tobacco Alternative, bold flavor, full pouches. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Black Buffalo products are intended for adults age 21 and older who are consumers of nicotine or tobacco.
It's a Meat Eater Podcast.
Welcome to Meat Eater Trivia, the only game show where conservation always wins. I'm your host, Spencer Newarth, and today we're joined by Steve Ranella, Giannis Patelis, Seth Morris, Brody Henderson, Chris Gill, Lauren Moulton, Rick Smith, Garrett Smith, and Danny Bolton.
No now, relation.
For many of you, this is your first time playing Meat Eater Trivia, so how do you feel about your odds of winning?
80% victory.
Really?
You want to bet?
I bet a buck.
That's pretty good. All right, Garrett.
Yeah. Do people even know who Garrett Smith is? Don't they know
AKA
him under another name?
Dirt Myth. Yeah.
AKA Dirt Myth.
Yeah. The only game show where Steve usually wins.
Listen, I'll bet you a dollar. Side bet. Calcutta.
Okay. I'm in.
Now, what makes you feel confident that you're going to win?
I mean, I'm just hopeful.
Okay.
Optimistic.
Optimistic, yeah.
But I would love it so much. It's like every time I listen to trivia, I just imagine coming on and beating Steve. And then I would just forever be able to say that.
Yeah.
How do you normally perform?
I think middle of the road.
Which would be like, what, like 4 or 5, right, you think?
You throw some 4s and 5s?
I think probably.
Yeah. Both of you guys know, like, you just throw in a lot of tidbits in real life. Like, you know a lot of random stuff that I'd be like, oh.
Well-equipped for trivia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How about Rick and Dirt?
Yeah, I mean, Rick. No. Rick, I'm making it up, though, usually.
Yeah, Rick makes half the shit up.
Yeah, these are real answers. Somebody's fact-checking.
Yeah.
Is nobody fact-checking you otherwise when you're throwing those things out there?
No, Google, we don't have internet.
Well, yeah, you know,
and you got a confident delivery.
Oh, Rick, you'll be glad to learn that. On one of our episodes, on Spotify, one of our episodes recently had, to get the truth about COVID, visit this website. We got a COVID warning. Because we were joking about how Doug Dern, we're talking about how they must got some kind of AI function on COVID. Because we're talking about how my theory that Doug Dern is the one that caused the spread of COVID from humans to whitetails, and it got flagged with the truth about COVID warning. So like, now everybody's going to think that Doug Durant gave whitetails COVID here. Whitetails COVID.
Now, Steve, Yanni, Seth, you guys spend a lot of time with these boys in making a season of Meat Eater. Who do you think is going to perform well between them?
You ask me who's going to do good?
Rick will do good. I honestly think Rick will do good, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. As much as I don't want to say that.
No, we told Rick that
it's based. That's not the dog on their guys.
But it's based on fact.
Well, he's been in the wildlife business for 20-some years.
But I don't hunt, and I don't fish.
Yeah, he doesn't
have fish. Yeah,
that's true.
Dirt and Ridge Pounder do a little hunting and fishing.
I think Chris Gill here will do good on all the fishing questions.
Mm. Maybe. Well, I don't know. Is it standard rod and reel? Or are we getting fancy?
Well,
we need a bookie in here because I got money between me and Dirt as a Calcutta, and I'd also like to do between you camera guys. I got money on Rick.
Yeah, I've heard there's a side bet going on between the cameramen about who's going to perform the best, but it seems like...
And I want in on that action.
A lot of confidence in
some
Rick.
Pressure.
I think these guys are going to surprise us, though. Because they've been a lot of places.
Yeah. I know, but my memory's not like it used to be.
Well, there's only one way to find out, Spencer. Yeah.
That's right. Now, Steve, I'm not going to betray any confidences here, but one of the greatest compliments I've received about Meat Eater Trivia is that one of your cameramen told me I do a good job of dealing with an honoree, Steven Rinella.
That's great.
And it sounded as though they've maybe seen Steve Rinella honoree a lot.
Which camera guy
was that? Was that
I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't remember. Might have.
Well, I don't know. We just recapped a couple of little disputes we've had.
Really?
Yeah, but I don't even feel the need to, you know, sometimes we'll get into a dispute and mm-hmm. I don't even revisit it.
Do you ever think that they're being honoree?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I've gotten hangry on shoots, yeah.
Oh, yeah. We were just talking about a thing that I said of them in general one time, which was in very poor taste.
And you talked about the specifics of it? Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm going to listen mm-hmm. to that. I like that.
An insult I've sent their way.
Wow.
If I was a camera guy.
I do a lot of that. Insult, but
that's we forgot to mention that. That's the running quote.
I'd tell them how I'd go about it if I was in their line of work.
Now, each week here on Trivia, we reveal a new stat. This week, we're looking at the average scores over time and comparing the first 15 episodes to the last 15 episodes. In the first 15 episodes, the average player score was 4.71. In the last 15 episodes, the average player score was 4.70. So the average player score has gone down by 0.01.
I think that's statistically insignificant.
Oh, absolutely, it's insignificant.
Yeah, yeah.
No, you just blame it on COVID. That's what they're doing.
There you go.
Oh, every state. I saw math scores went down in every state during the pandemic.
Math and reading.
And I think that my daughter's class, like, I think like third graders really got their teeth kicked in on math. Because it's like a very important age or whatever.
It's probably a testing year, too.
You know?
Like when they do that standardized stuff.
Now, Steve has increased his average score by 0.25 from 5.85 to 6.1. Brody has decreased his average score by 0.84 from 7.01 to 6.17.
Well, that's like an age thing.
I'm deteriorating.
I mean, Brody's like, I'm still coming into prime. Yep. I'm like, honestly, I'm coming into prime trivia, and I think Brody's tipping into like
the over the hill.
Yeah, like where they start getting confused about shit. Don't really know why they came
Long
into the
COVID,
room.
I got
know?
COVID fog going on.
Yeah, uh-huh. And they tell you something they just told you. That's all coming.
And like, Giannis,
very soon.
Giannis Brody. Has also increased his average score by 0.27 from 5.43 to 5.7.
Yeah, and now, when I tip over the edge that Brody just tipped over, uh-huh. Giannis is going to... He's going to become the reigning champ.
Oh, there's a wave of going through.
Yeah,
this.
like senility is hitting Brody. Senility will hit me in 2 years. Yanni will be like at the peak game. Seth's going to have a great future.
Yeah.
Long like time.
In 20 years.
Oh, yeah. I don't know about that.
Now for the average winning scores. The average winning score in the first 15 episodes was 6.9, and the average winning score in the last 15 episodes is 7.36. So the average winning score has gone up by 0.46.
Does that mean we're getting better, or your questions are getting easier?
I think the top performers are doing better is what it means. So the three of you that I just talked about, except for Brody, who's gone down 0.87.
Well, yeah.
That's
know.
Like, that rounds up to one.
I got a target on my back, man.
Now we have some housekeeping to get to. In a previous game of trivia, we had a question about what the cost of a federal duck stamp is in 2022. The correct answer was $25, but about a dozen listeners from around the country wrote in saying that they paid more than that. They weren't wrong, as many states often charge anywhere from $26 to $29 when you purchase a stamp through them. However, that additional fee is what the state is charging for things like shipping, processing, and the ability to have an e-stamp. So the base price is $25, and that's what you'd be charged if you went to the post office. But if you buy one through a state's website, you'll likely be hit with extra fees.
You've been Newharthed. Did you know that
I paid $28.50 today from Wisconsin?
Oh, you just bought yours. Yeah.
Yeah. Spencer likes little. Spencer likes to be a little twist of the sword. When it comes to like, he likes stories write-ins where people write in like where they a writer in would be like, hey, you know, just politely pointing out where you made a mistake. And Spencer will read it, and then the listener's like, ooh, Spencer made a mistake. And then Spencer will circle around, and he'll do like a, yeah, but not really. He loves that kind of feedback.
Next episode.
He seems like he's getting his cake and he's eating it too, because how gracious he is to point out where he missed. But in the end, there's always a little like, well, the more you think about it, I was actually right.
Next episode, though, I will take a big loss. I have to issue a correction on top of a correction, so that's coming.
Oh, and you don't have like a little thing about how you were actually right.
No, I'm just glad.
Double wrong.
100% wrong. That one's gonna twice hurt. Over. The Shelby index for this game of trivia is a 5, indicating that our winner should pitch a perfect game, but I'm thinking the best score will be maybe more like 8. And with that, we're on to the game of trivia. Play the drop, Phil.
Look, I need to know what I stand to win.
Everything.
How's that?
You stand to win everything.
Suckers.
Question 1. The topic is hunting, and as always, this will be multiple choice. Which of these has the lowest population in Canada? Is it caribou, muskox, elk, or moose? Which of these has the lowest population in Canada? Your choices are caribou, muskox, elk, or moose. A quick answer from Steve.
I haven't written anything down.
No? Yet. Oh, I thought you went to write. Does anybody think they know this?
Is it a trick question?
Not going to tell you that.
It feels like a trick question.
Yeah.
It definitely feels like a trick.
Okay. Yanni, how you feel about this one?
I'm feeling like I've narrowed it down to 2.
Looking for the lowest population in Canada. Your choices are caribou, muskox, elk, and moose. Does everybody have an answer?
No. I just said.
I don't know if I go with what I know it is or what I think you it is.
Exactly.
Yanni?
I like the line of thinking, Steve.
Mm-hmm. Oh, go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Steve saying muskox. Danny saying muskox. Rick saying muskox.
Lauren, you can't just put the letter down. Everybody gets too confused.
Muskox. Lauren saying elk. No. Brody.
No, muskox. He said muskox.
Muskox, okay.
The only one who didn't is...
And I think Chris counter. Got it right.
I was thinking it could be elk.
What's the Chris the only elk. Person who didn't say muskox is Chris, and he said elk. The correct answer is elk.
I knew it.
It was a trick question.
These numbers are via the Canadian Wildlife Federation. There are approximately 2 million caribou in Canada. That's followed by 750,000 moose. 85,000 muskox and 72,000 elk.
Do they really have 85,000 muskox?
And I think like 60,000 of those live on 2 islands, Banks and Victoria or something like that.
No, there's only a 13,000 difference between elk and muskox. That's a pretty tight number.
When you're talking like 72,000, 85,000, it's probably like a 20% difference.
Yeah, so when you're talking them all piled up in a big pile, that's a big difference.
The only person who got it right is Chris with
Ridge
elk.
Pounder. Pulls out ahead.
Yes.
Well
man.
Done. That's,
you know what? Savor it.
Should we quit?
I peaked. No, I peaked. That's it.
Question 2.
This episode's only one question. Yeah. Okay, that was great, boys.
Question 2. The topic is fishing. This next great question comes to us via Rebecca Champion. If you have a question you think is right for Meat Eater Trivia, you can send it to trivia@themeateater.com. What is the organ called that fish use to control their buoyancy? What is the organ called that fish use to control their buoyancy? Pretty quick answers from the non-cameramen. A few of the cameramen doing some thinking.
Oh, I know I'm right on this one.
You got this one?
Uh-huh.
Gonna go 2-0 right off the bat.
Mm-hmm.
That's a sweet whitetail hat, Seth. Just comes right out and says it.
Yeah,
whitetail.
No,
there's no debate.
No wonder
what he's into. Yeah.
Does everybody have an answer?
Just gets it right out in the open.
Well, it does clarify. Whitetail. Not just any whitetail. It's a big old buck.
It's a big old whitetail.
Does everybody have an answer? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Steve saying swim bladder. Danny saying bubble. Rick, I can't see your board. Rick saying bladder. Brody Lauren got a, saying gills. Brody saying air bladder. Seth saying swim bladder. Chris saying
float sack.
Float sack. Garrett saying air sack. And Giannis saying swim bladder. The correct answer is swim bladder.
Damn.
How about the people who said just bladder or air bladder?
Air bladder, no.
Really?
Well, I don't know. It's not my call. We call Doug and ask him.
I really don't know which direction to go on that.
Well, you know, go with your heart.
I would say no.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, but it's the same. I mean, it's kind of the same thing as float sack, air too, sack. Right? It's like, come on, float sack.
Nearly every fish has a swim bladder. Some of the only ones that don't are cartilaginous fish like sharks and rays. To help compensate for their tendency to sink, sharks have oil in their liver that's less dense than seawater. Without it, they would be bottom dwellers.
Oh, I didn't know that that's what that's all about.
That's what they got going on there, because they don't have a swim bladder.
You know what I'd like to dig into someday is what... why some fish can't regulate that swim bladder quickly while other fish can regulate that swim bladder quickly. I mean, like, the difference between fish that suffer from barotrauma when you reel them in.
Yeah, like, or a, like halibut. A halibut.
You can horse a halibut in and it does, he's like able to stay in tune with the depth changes.
So you're not constantly seeing that at the fish shack in Alaska?
Like certain species, they don't move. They don't change. What do you call it? They don't change depth. Yeah, they don't. They can't change depth quickly, and certain fish can. And I wonder what if it's always linked to behavior. Mm. It'd be interesting to know if the behavior is dictated by, right? This is like chicken or the egg. Is the behavior dictated by their inability to change quick, or they don't need an ability to change quick because they have a certain kind of groove where they just stay glued to the bottom?
It would be interesting to see what happened if you reeled a rockfish in super slow.
I'm sure you'd be fine, right? If you just like, milked it.
Yeah.
Question three. The topic is public lands. This famous photographer who received the Presidential Medal of Freedom in 1980 is best known for his black and white images of national parks.
Throwing us a bone. Thanks.
Steve, oh, this is the bone.
Well, this was a hard group to write a bone for, but I think this is it. We'll see how they do. This famous photographer who received the Presidential Medal of Freedom in 1980 is best known for his black and white images of national parks.
Or name a famous photographer.
The one that everybody knows.
Do you all the camera folks know this one? You guys got this?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. This might be my one point for the whole
think
trivia.
So? Does everybody have an answer?
Yes. What a...
Go ahead and reveal your answers. Every single person says Ansel Adams, and they got it right. Adams received that Presidential Medal of Freedom for his work in the National Park System. He was also a key advisor in establishing the photography department at the Museum of Modern Art in New York City. Ansel has a wilderness area in the Sierra Nevadas and a mountain in Yosemite National Park that are named after him.
I knew it wasn't going to be Robert Mapplethorpe.
Mm-mm. Nope, that'd be a distinctly non-wildlife related choice.
Question four, the topic is cooking. This next great question comes to us via Kellen Knox. If you have a question you think is right for Meat Eater Trivia, you can send it to trivia@themeateater.com. Name two of the three crops that Native American cultures refer to as the Three Sisters. Name two of the three crops that Native American cultures refer to as the Three Sisters. Some quick answers. Well, I don't know
if I put them all down, it doesn't do me any good.
No. No, folks are just making an educated guess or if they know this. Looks like some confidence in the room, though. Steve, you know this?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No problem.
Brody, you know this?
No. I mean, like, maybe.
Looking for two of the three crops that are part of the Three Sisters. Does everybody have an answer?
No.
Yanni taking his time. The guy with the heart out. Says we got to move this along. You ready?
Yeah.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Steve saying corn and beans. Ooh. Danny saying corn and wheat. Rick saying corn and beans. Lorenzo saying, I don't know what that says.
Knick and sage.
Brody saying maize and yams. Seth saying wheat and corn. Chris saying wild rice and maize. Garrett saying wheat and maize. Giannis saying corn and squash.
Jeez, me, Yanni, and Rick.
The three crops in the Three Sisters are corn, beans, and squash.
No, oh, right.
Folks did pretty well.
Because the beans climb. Oh, you're going to get an all.
The Three Sisters crop model was used by tribes from the Great Lakes to Central America. The combo of these three plants is a form of companion planting. The corn provides stalks for the beans to crawl. The beans provide the soil with nitrogen, and the squash leaves shade the ground. If you want to start your own Three Sisters garden, then go to themeateater.com and read Jordan Tony's Wild and Whole article called How to Plant a Three Sisters Garden.
If Yanni wasn't low on time, I would like to critique some of the answers.
Yeah, what do you got?
Well, I feel like anyone that went to grade school learned about how wheat was first domesticated in Mesopotamia. And Chris, being from the Great Lakes region, would know that wild rice grows in the water.
Mm. See, I have a problem
with the fact
with
that
retention.
It's even on his mind, that wild rice is on his mind.
Well, I was kind of thinking of where things originated and when they got to North America. I was even on the fence about corn, man. I was like, I don't know how that get here.
We don't have the time, though, for Steve to critique those
if
answers.
If I was going to, that was the path
okay,
I would go
so
down.
So we'll just move on. Question five, the topic is fishing. What is the name of the world's largest sport fishing trade show that's been held in Orlando since 2014? What is the name of the world's largest sport fishing trade show that's been held in Orlando since 2014? Steve, do you have any of those Three Sisters in your garden?
I am a very avid grower of pole beans, like a string bean type pole bean. I like to grow those because it's so dramatic.
But they're not going up corn stalks.
No, I have them growing up right now. What's interesting is I cut some green willow, and I usually cut aspen, but this year I cut green willow to make my poles, my trellises, and it rooted.
Oh,
interesting.
I cut it, stripped it, sunk it in the garden, and it started sprouting leaves everywhere and rooted in there.
Now what?
I pulled them out. It's kind of mean.
Didn't you bring back from Arkansas?
One year I did cane out of Clay's garden.
And that only lasted a year?
You know, I was so I actually filed a complaint with him about how disappointed I was in that cane he gave me. I thought it'd last for an eternity. It just doesn't like that. I don't think it likes that the dry conditions. It just turned brittle and fell apart.
One more time, your question five. What is the name of the world's largest sport fishing trade show that's been held in Orlando since 2014? Does everybody have an answer? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Steve saying ICAST. Danny saying Pelagic Expo of Pole Bending. Rick saying WSF. Lorenzo saying Florida Fish Felt
Fest.
Brody saying NAFTA.
North American Free Trade Alliance.
Seth saying ICAST. Chris saying Wallhanger Convention. Garrett saying Martin Mayhem. And Giannis saying ICAST. The correct answer is ICAST.
I never even heard of that thing, man.
About 12,000 people.
It's a trade show. It's like a normal fishing dude would have no reason to go there.
Oh.
About 12,000 people attend ICAST each year. It's historically where the biggest brands in the industry reveal their newest products. The next ICAST will be held in Orlando for the 10th straight year on July 11, 2023. Phil, we're halfway through the game of trivia. Give us a scoreboard update.
All right. Everyone's on the board with 1 point. We have Danny, Lauren, Garrett, and man, so far on the other side of that hill, he's rolling. Brody Henderson also has 1 point.
Yep.
Wow. No.
Brody's like, he'll be like, what? Huh?
How many questions are left?
Build back better.
Corn pop. We got, with 2 points, Chris and Rick. Seth has 3 points, and tied for first place, 4 points apiece, Steven Ranella and Giannis Poutelis.
Man, Seth's emerging as a real threat. Man.
Don't curse me.
Hey man, after years of fine print contracts and getting ripped off by overpriced wireless providers, if you've learned anything, it's that there is always a catch. So, when I heard that for a limited time, all Mint Mobile wireless plans are $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan, I thought, well, what's the catch? But it turns out there isn't one. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they sell wireless service online. They cut out the cost of retail stores and pass those sweet savings directly to you. Ditch overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited time deal and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month. To get this new customer offer and your new 3 month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/meateater. That's mintmobile.com/meateater. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/meateater.
$45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3 month plan only. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Man, I'm just coming back not too long ago from youth turkey season in Wisconsin. Now, last year at youth turkey season, it rained and snowed the whole time. This year at youth turkey season, it was in the 70s and even up to 80. So me and my kids are pouring it to it. And after a while, I realized they didn't drink anything all day and they haven't drank anything all day. Well, that's why it's important to get hydrated and have something you're going to like to help you, encourage you to get hydrated. Doesn't matter. Outdoor events, turkey hunting, playing sports, beach days, mountain adventures. Summer requires extraordinary hydration that's built for everyday dehydrating moments. With 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, plus 8 vitamins and nutrients in a single stick, it's clear why Liquid IV is the number one powdered hydration brand in America. Tear, pour, live more. One stick plus 16 ounces of water hydrates better than water alone. I'll say that again. Hydrates better than water alone. Turn your ordinary water into extraordinary hydration with Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to LiquidIV.com and you use code MeatEater at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code MeatEater at LiquidIV.com. Get incredible deals on premium cuts from ButcherBox. Do you like free protein for a whole year? Well, deals this good are hard to come by at the grocery store. I, at home, well, I got 2 freezers, but you know what I'm saying. I like to have a freezer stocked full of stuff. I like feeling prepared, man. When I come home and it's time to make dinner, I like to go in. I got all my proteins lined up in there. Just makes me feel good about stuff. And with ButcherBox, you'll always be prepared with meat in the freezer. It means fewer trips to the grocery store. Delivered right to your doorstep with free shipping always. You get a variety of high-quality cuts at an amazing value. You'll get exclusive deals as a member, too. Sign up at butcherbox.com/meateater and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free-for-a-year offer plus an additional $20 off. Choose salmon, chicken breast, or steak tips free and every order for a year. So every box you get has that in it, free for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/meateater. Make sure you use code MeatEater to choose your free for a year offer plus $20 off your first order.
Question 6, the topic is hunting. As of October 2022, there are 7 states that don't allow the use of dogs to track wounded big game. Name one of those states. As of right now, there are 7 states that don't allow the use of dogs to track wounded big game. Name one of those states. Nobody knew this one right off the bat. We're just going to be getting some guesses, but you have a 7 in 50 chance of hitting one.
What's that round up to? You can't round that down, can you?
14%.
No, you can't, like...
Reduce, fraction reduce. Yeah.
You have a 14% chance of getting this right. Steve, you think you got the 14%?
I've seen I saw a map, a color-coded map, I'll tell you later.
Okay. Does everybody have a state written down? Brody?
I got 2 down.
Pick one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going with my first one.
Go ahead and reveal your answers.
Where are we?
We have Steve saying Oregon, Danny saying California, Rick saying Montana, Lorenzo saying Washington, Brody saying Colorado, Seth saying Alaska, Chris saying New York, Garrett saying Iowa, and Giannis saying California. These 7 states are Massachusetts, Rhode Island, Connecticut, Washington, Oregon, Nevada, and Arizona.
Oh, dude, I'm part of the tri-state, man.
So we had a few folks get it right, and everyone else was almost like bordering a state that does outlaw it.
What'd you get? What'd you guess?
Or, because I remember there being two, I remember like the Pacific Northwest and then the Northeast.
Yeah.
Being like in this little map. What was that outfit, Yanni? It's like the Blood Trackers
United
Association.
Blood Trackers.
They had a map where you're supposed to, I'm a full supporter. I think that. Once it's wounded,
why not
find the damn thing?
Yeah.
Just have it be on a leash law. I can't see any reason why you would ever handicap anyone
recovering
something that you already hit anyways.
Yeah,
just let them go find the damn thing.
Yeah,
What are you gaining from not letting them find it?
Was California on the list or no?
Oh yeah,
so
if there's
California
a question
has spotty coverage, some places it is allowed. You have to contact a game warden ahead of time, but parts of California it is legal to use a dog.
Mm-hmm. Like, I could even see, and you get into a lot of enforcement stuff where it's hard, where let's say, you know, you'd say, well, I think you should be able to use thermal night vision for, or a thermal scope for tracking. So then you got a thermal scope in your backpack where you're not supposed to hunt with thermal scope.
Right.
You're like, oh, yeah, but I have
That's for tracking.
I only have it if I wound something. So you get into a lot of, you create hard scenarios for enforcement officials.
I just don't
see you out with a dog at night being that there's something else going on.
No, because you're probably not going to bring your dog with you hunting because it's going to mess up your whole deal. And then it's like,
I don't know. Yeah. A lot. I mean,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. You
I
bring
know people
your dog.
That
yeah,
bring
but you
dogs,
got a little
big
dog,
game
dogs.
Hunting. Bringing it was illegal to have a dog with you big game hunting in Colorado, wasn't it?
Can't remember.
List of states that allow the use of blood tracking dogs has drastically changed over the last decade. In 2011, there were just 27 states where it was legal. In 2019, there were 35 states, and today there are 43 states. To find a blood tracking dog near you, go to unitedbloodtrackers.org.
If you're nervous about it, have it be that it's got to be on a leash. Track with a leash.
Good reason.
If you're worried about it.
Question 7, the topic is cooking. What New York City borough has a tomato-based clam chowder named after it? What New York City borough has a tomato-based clam chowder named after it? Nobody knew this one right off the bat.
Speak for yourself, bro.
Yeah. Oh, you knew this? Has anyone besides Steve lived in New York City?
Yes.
Yes,
I don't think it has
this?
Anything to do with living in New York City.
No, no, I don't.
You know
I don't know this.
Okay. Well, we just learned it doesn't matter.
Can you name the boroughs for us?
No, I will not.
No,
will not
I don't know. He don't even know why I know it. I know it because of Christopher Wayne.
When I was a kid, I would only eat this kind and not the other.
Really?
Kind. Yep. I didn't like the other kind.
And you referred to it by this name.
Yeah, it was right on the can of soup.
Oh
really?
Oh yeah.
I know because Christopher Wayne told me this.
What New York City borough has a tomato-based clam chowder named after it? Does everybody have an answer?
Oh,
watch me get it wrong.
Yanni, do you know? Do you have an answer?
I don't.
Do you know the boroughs?
I know a couple of them.
You going to pick one?
I guess I'm going to have to.
I don't even know what a borough is.
Oh, they got it. You know, Alaska's divided into boroughs.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
The whole state?
Yeah. They don't. Yeah, it's not counties. It's boroughs.
Hmm.
North Slope borough. Yeah.
Right.
It's like a geopolitical.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Dirty Steve saying Manhattan.
Oh, yes.
Danny saying New England. Rick saying Manhattan. Lorenzo saying Soho.
Soho chowder.
Cody saying Manhattan. Seth saying Manhattan. Chris saying Manhattan. Garrett saying Manhattan. And Giannis saying Brooklyn.
I just couldn't think of like Queens chowder or something, you know?
Steve got
Coney
it. The correct
Island
answer
chowder,
is Manhattan.
Staten Island's a borough.
Yeah.
What makes Manhattan clam chowder unique is its use of a tomato-based broth instead of milk or cream. Some New Englanders consider this to be a sin, so much so that the state of Maine introduced a bill in 1939 that would have outlawed putting tomatoes in clam chowder, but the bill did not pass.
You know what I have zero tolerance for?
What's that?
All these things about, if you put beans in it, it's not chili. If you do this, it's not that. If you do this, it's not that. I get a little worn out by that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Are you going to tell us why you knew that answer now?
I told you. Christopher Wayne told me.
Oh, but I thought there was more to the story. That's it?
No, we've done chowder recipes in our cookbooks, and Christopher Wayne is our
mastermind collaborator on our she runs our cookbook projects and she knows everything like that.
Oh, good on her. Yeah. And there are five boroughs, Yanni. What are they? There's Brooklyn,
the Bronx, Queens,
Manhattan.
Have you worked with Krista ever?
No. Do not know that person. Question eight. The topic is conservation. This is our Worksharp listener question of the week, which was won by Isaac Diamond. For sending this great question, Isaac is going to get a Worksharp care package that includes three of our favorite knife sharpeners. If you want a chance to win the listener question of the week, then send your question to trivia at themeateater.com.
That dude's got some cut, cut fingers in his future.
Elite sharpener better be in there because you can sharpen broadheads with that sucker too.
This bird, which is considered critically endangered, has the largest wingspan in North America. This bird, which is considered critically endangered, has the largest wingspan in North America. Now, Brody, why did you like Manhattan clam chowder so much?
I don't know. I just, when I was a kid, I didn't like that creamy soup.
And are you still that way? You like the tomato clam chowder versus dairy clam chowder?
I like it, but I like the other stuff now, too.
Surprised that it said it right on the can.
Pretty sure it did.
Red
and white camel soup can.
This bird, which is considered critically endangered, has the largest wingspan in North America. Does everybody have an answer?
Oh, yeah, buddy.
Yeah.
Garrett doing a lot of writing. Everybody else good?
I feel like if I wouldn't have dicked up that first one.
Reveal your answers. We have Steve saying the California condor. Oh. Danny saying osprey. Rick saying California condor. Lorenzo, Brody, Seth, all saying the California condor. Seth says just condor.
Are there multiple condors?
Yes, there are. There's an Andean condor.
Chris saying,
the only one I know about is the one in California.
Golden eagle.
I didn't get a swim bladder.
Garrett saying all eagles.
Eagle and Giannis saying California condor. The correct answer is California condor.
Oh, I forgot about that.
I don't think
man.
We'll take just condor.
No. So what? Honesty here. I only knew of California condor.
Andean.
Well, this is a contest about how much you know.
What's the other one?
There's the Andean
the fish's
condor,
was only bladder,
which is even bigger, I think, than the California condor.
Gotcha. Well, I guess that makes sense then.
At 10 feet from tip to tip, the California condor's wingspan is nearly 3 feet wider than a bald eagle's. At their lowest point, there were just 10 California condors left in the wild. But thanks to conservation efforts, today there are about 300 California condors in the wild and another 200 living in captivity.
Are they all in California?
No, I think they're like Utah,
Arizona.
They're spread out.
Southwest. They hunt over to Grand Canyon.
Do they really? Yeah. Kaibab Plateau.
Whoa, that'd be wild to see.
Phil, we have two questions left. Give us a scoreboard update.
Okay, well, since Seth didn't know his condors, we only have two players left in the game. We have Steven Ranella, who has 7 points. He's only missed one, and with five... It's a pretty big gap there. We have Giannis Patelis, but he can still catch up.
And I kind of knew the one.
Hey, can you lean over for a second? I want to see something.
So we need Steve to get these last two wrong and Brody to get the last two right. Can you give us, Giannis to get the last two right. How about the cameramen? How are they doing? They have their own competition.
Yeah,
going.
Sure thing. Danny Bolden has one. He's dead last, but he's giving it his all.
Well, he spent his whole life in Hawaii.
Yeah, exactly.
Surfing and fishing.
Don't have condors there.
Yeah, there's no Manhattan clam chowder.
No.
Rick has 4.
Oh.
Lauren has 3. Brody has 3. Seth has 4. Chris has 3. And Garrett Dirtmyth has 2.
Two questions left.
Oh, Gare Bear.
Question 9. The topic is fishing.
Between you and I now, Rick.
What teenage fugitive with an alliterative nickname stole a 34-foot tuna fishing boat in Washington while on the run in 2010?
Give me
that again. What teenage fugitive with an alliterative nickname stole a 34-foot tuna fishing boat in Washington while on the run in 2010?
Did he also steal a plane?
Not going to give you any hints.
Oh, that's a hint. Yeah.
Looking for the teenage fugitive with an alliterative nickname who stole a 34-foot tuna fishing boat in Washington while on the run in 2010.
And you're just looking for his nickname.
Just looking for his nickname.
Okay.
Do you know this one, Phil? Would have you known this one?
No.
No.
This may be one of the dumbest questions you've ever asked, Spencer.
Yeah, I just don't. Oh, it was a tuna boat.
Yeah, he stole a tuna fishing boat.
Stupid, but still. Not totally stupid.
Nobody has an answer, I don't think.
Oh, I got one.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if it's right. Couple I might be people. Confusing it with a different fugitive.
Giannis?
I got one.
Okay. Teenage fugitive with an alliterative nickname. Does everybody have an answer who's going to come up with one?
Yeah, what everybody come up with a fun nickname.
I know what you're talking about, but no, I got nothing. I got this wrong.
Everybody ready? Mm-hmm. Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Steve saying Slippery Slim. Slabbery Slim.
Oh, he's got it.
Danny saying McQueen. Rick saying Captain Chris. Lorenzo saying Squire. Brody without an answer.
Chris got it.
Seth saying Dumbass. Chris saying Barefoot Bandit. Garrett saying Bitchy Little Bitch. And Giannis saying Big Bob. Chris got it. It's the Barefoot Bandit.
Man.
That one was rattling around in there somewhere, dude. Man.
We're tied up now.
Yeah.
You spit it up like a cat with a hairball.
The Barefoot Bandit's real name is Colton Harris Moore. While on the run, he stole millions of dollars worth of planes, boats, and vehicles. He was captured in July of 2010 after crashing a stolen plane into a Bohemian fishing village. Moore was sentenced to 7 years in prison in order to pay $1.4 million in restitution, which he accomplished by selling the film rights from his story to 20th Century Fox.
Oh, did you say Bohemian or Bahamian?
Bohemian.
Bahamian. He meant Bahamian.
How am I saying it wrong? Bahamian?
No, you got it.
Okay.
It sounded like you said Bohemian.
Now, why is that, Rody? Brody, he stole a fishing boat at one point. He crashed into a fishing village. He crashed his plane onto some Yakima Reservation public land. He had to do a lot of camping in the
mountains. You're defending this very vigorously.
Oh, I feel very strongly that this is tied to our four verticals.
Shakespeare said, doth protest too much.
Yeah. I think it's...
It was made into a movie, this character?
No, but 20th Century Fox paid $1.4 million for the story, which he then had to use to pay off restitution fees for stealing all those planes and boats and things.
I could picture one of them. When he was younger, you know who they would have put in it? They would have had it be...
Leo.
Yeah.
No, yeah.
Or the...
Yeah, it's the modern day Catch Me If You Can.
Yeah, they'd have had him be in it, or they'd use the guy from American Honey. In and out of trouble now.
Yeah.
Question 10. We have our winner with Steven Ranella, but we'll
finish
out the game.
Dang it. How did I win it? I just got it wrong.
You're at 7. Oh. Yanni's at 5. We have some other folks at 5 as well, but just one question left. Question 10. The topic is woodsmanship. This next great question comes to us via Cody Pritchard. If you have a question you think is right for Meat Eater Trivia, you can send it to trivia@themeateater.com. From what direction does the moon rise? From what direction does the moon rise? Topic is woodsmanship. Seems as though nobody just like knew this one.
No, I had no idea. I still don't. No.
Does everybody have an answer? Looking from what direction the moon rises. Steve, you good?
No, I need to give me a second.
Okay. Looking for what direction the moon rises.
You know it?
I think I know
Rick should know this one.
Yeah.
Why should he know this one?
Because I have to film it.
All these film guys should know this
one. Oh, no, I don't think about the... I know the sun, where the sun is at any hour of the day. I'll tell you. I'll point.
It's related.
Based on months of the year, I'll point right there and I'll nail it every time.
Do you guys ever do the thing that Neil deGrasse Tyson gets really mad about where you film like a sunset and then you put it in reverse and make it a sunrise or vice versa?
That's out of control. Yeah. That's editors, man.
Editors.
Out of control editors.
Yeah, those are the editors
gotta
that
rein
do
them in.
Yeah.
Does everybody have an answer? Looking for what direction the moon rises? Steve?
I think he's written down one earlier. Let's just end the show.
I think he's wrote down every direction so far. Ready? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Steve saying west, Danny saying east, Rick saying east, Lorenzo saying east, Brody saying east, Seth saying west, Chris saying west, Garrett saying east, and Giannis saying south. The correct answer is east.
Oh, I won!
Acid rises.
The Earth only spins one direction.
Yeah, exactly.
The moon is a big part of celestial navigation because its rules apply to both hemispheres, and it's brighter than these stars. Some of the things you can learn from the moon's position and phase include directions, time of day, and distance traveled.
I was thinking,
Phil,
gravity.
I'll remind you whose podcast feed this is. I would like to wrap her up.
prior to that question.
can we get a final scoreboard update, Phil, to see who is the champion cameraman when it comes to trivia?
Yeah, Steve's the winner. The champion cameraman is Rick Smith.
Rick, oh, how
Rick? That's right. Yeah. 5 points.
I knew it. Well done, Rick.
So the last one was I won money off Dirt, and I won money off Rick.
It's a failure because I didn't get close to beating Steve.
Nah.
Okay, I've strayed in my donations.
Mm-hmm. What happens next is Steve gets to choose where a $500 donation from Meat Eater goes.
I've wrestled with it. Well, no, I'm just walking people through my logic.
Mm-hmm.
I've done some giving, and I've done some giving. Well, first off, I'd like to thank my parents. I've done some giving in honor of guests. If you remember, a couple times I've done that, but I want to go back to my roots today. And give my donation to the Theodore Roosevelt Conservation Partnership, where I'm a proud board member. And again, just look no further than one of their rallying cries, which is guaranteeing Americans quality places to hunt and fish.
It's a good tagline.
Mm-hmm.
Camera folks, thank you for joining me. It was fun having you. We're going to have you back when season 12 comes out. That's it for this episode of Meat Eater Trivia. Join us next time for more of the only game show where conservation always wins.
I'm sure a lot of you guys remember the old ceremonial hunting tradition of eating the heart out of the first animal you kill. Meat from those organs are among the most nutrient-rich foods on the planet. You can get those same benefits your ancestors craved via convenient daily capsules from Heart and Soil. Find out more at heartandsoil.co. And remember, use code MEATEATER for 10% off your purchase. Outdoor adventure won't wait for engine problems. Things like hard starts, rough performance, and lost fuel economy are often caused by fuel gum and varnish buildup. Seafoam can help your engine run better and last longer. Simply pour a can in your gas tank. Hunters and anglers rely on Seafoam to keep their engines running the way it should the entire season. Pick up a can of Seafoam today at your local auto parts store, or visit SeafoamWorks.com to learn more.